Thank you, Stephen, for again leading us so helpfully in worship this morning. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark and to chapter 10 as we continue our series of studies in Mark's Gospel. And this morning we come to Mark chapter 10 and verses 46 to 52, which records for us our Lord's encounter with a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, and begin reading at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. May God bless the reading of his word to us, and let's just come before him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege we have of once again coming together and opening it before us. And we pray that as we do so, that you would also open our hearts to hear from you, to understand what it is that you want to say to us, and then to apply these things to our lives. Lord, would you speak into our hearts now, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we know from previous studies, Jesus and his disciples have been making their way from Galilee through Judea, heading towards Jerusalem. And in coming to verse 46 this morning, Mark tells us that they have arrived in Jericho. And of course, for those of you who know your Bibles and your Old Testament history, you'll recognize the name of that city as being the city where the walls came tumbling down in Joshua chapter 6, when the Israelites took possession of the promised land. Now, in much the same way that today we often differentiate between the old historic parts of a city and the new modern parts, what we discover is that in the time of Jesus, Jericho was known in the same way. It seems that it was the older historic part of the city, which would have been the ancient city of Jericho that existed at the time of the Judges. And then as the city was rebuilt and redeveloped over the years that followed, it grew and expanded. So at the time of Jesus, there was a distinguishable difference between the modern Jericho and the parts that belonged to the ancient city. And this perhaps helps to explain why, when recording this event, Matthew and Mark in their Gospels refer to Jesus as leaving Jericho, whereas Luke says that this happened as Jesus approached Jericho. And in all likelihood, what it is there is that Jesus was leaving the ancient historical part of the city and entering into the modern part that had been built up and expanded over the years. Now, you will notice that we're not given any detail of what went on in the city while Jesus was there, suggesting that Jesus was simply passing through because, as we know, he's heading for Jerusalem. But you will notice from verse 46 that as Jesus' disciples are leaving the city, they are accompanied by a large crowd. Now, we don't know whether this was a crowd that had been journeying with them or if this is a group of people that they have picked up along the way. And in all likelihood, it's probably a combination of both. And as they're leaving the city, Mark introduces us to a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, who is sitting by the roadside begging. Mark is the only gospel writer to tell us this man's name. Neither Matthew nor Luke tell us this. We know that Peter is Mark's source for his gospel, so it was Peter who would have told Mark who this man was, because after all, Peter was there when all this happened. But keep in mind, so was Matthew. And so he would have known who this man was. So why does Matthew nor include his name in his gospel. It's perhaps been suggested that the reason Mark includes his name is perhaps because he's drawing a comparison between Bartimaeus and the rich young ruler that we met and were introduced to earlier in the chapter, back in verse 17. You see, the rich young ruler was probably someone that was very well known, where everyone would have known his name. He was the rich young guy who had made it to the top in record time. And yet you and I have absolutely no idea who he is. In contrast, here we have Bartimaeus, who sat at the roadside begging, and probably very few people, if any, knew who he was. And yet Mark tells us his name so that you and I know exactly who he is. It's a powerful reminder to us that it doesn't really matter how famous we are in this world and whether everybody knows who we are and knows our name. What matters is whether you or I are known to God. That the last thing that any of us wants to hear on that day is the Lord Jesus saying to us that despite all that you did in my name, I never knew you. We want Jesus to know our names. You will notice that Mark tells us that in verse 46 that Bartimaeus is blind, which is why he's sitting by the roadside begging. Because he was blind, he wouldn't be able to work and earn a living, and therefore he had no means of earning an income and supporting himself, and so has no alternative other than to sit by the roadside and to beg. And so he sits there hoping that people entering and leaving the city would take pity on him and either give him some food to eat or some money so that he could go and buy his own. Although it appears that he sat by the roadside in the same place day after day and would no doubt have been used to the crowds of people passing by, you'll notice that there's something that is of about this crowd in particular that spikes his interest. At the time, Jericho was a great commercial and military centre. It was a busy thoroughfare. And therefore, huge crowds of people entering and leaving the city was not unusual. But whilst people would regularly be coming and going from this city, perhaps it was unusual for a group of this size to be going by all at once. And what we discover from the parallel passage in Luke's Gospel is that Bartimaeus inquires as to what is going on. And in response, someone explains to him in Luke 18:37 that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, we know from previous studies that by this time, Jesus is very well known. He's been ministering now for about 3.5 years, and news of what he has been doing has spread far and wide. And so no doubt Bartimaeus had heard people talking about Jesus and about the miraculous things that he had been doing, and how Jesus had healed people of all kinds of diseases and ailments, and he may even have heard stories of the Lord Jesus healing those who were blind. But since Bartimaeus himself is blind, he's got no way of getting to Jesus. It would appear that he didn't have anyone who would have taken him to Jesus, like the blind man at Bethsaida back in Mark chapter 8. And so maybe his only chance of meeting Jesus would be if Jesus came to the place where he was sitting. And so let's not miss what must have happened here. Bartimaeus is sitting by the roadside as he normally did day after day, and it would appear that unknown to him, the Lord Jesus has just walked right past him. But as soon as he is told that Jesus of Nazareth has just walked by leaving the city, we read in verse 47 that he began to shout out after him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Other more accurate translations say that he cried out. And the word that is used to describe his cries is the same word that is used to describe a woman's cry during childbirth. It's the same word that the gospel writers use to describe our Lord's cries from the cross. Bartimaeus is shouting and screaming at the top of his voice in order that Jesus would hear him. Now, as we've said, we presume that he must have heard about all the things that Jesus had been doing and how he had healed so many people. Otherwise, why would he be calling after him? And so Bartimaeus must have hoped that if Jesus could heal all of these other people, then maybe Jesus could heal me too. And so perhaps Bartimaeus had sat by the roadside hoping and praying that maybe one day Jesus would come to Jericho. And finally, that day has arrived. You see, what we must not miss is that this is his one and only chance. There was no way that he could have known that in just over a week's time, this same Jesus would die on a cross. And as far as we know, the Lord never went to Jericho after his resurrection. And so if he doesn't meet him now, the chances are he never will. And that's why he is not put off by those in the crowd telling him to be quiet. Because notice in verse 48 that we read that many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Not only are they telling him to be quiet, notice that they're rebuking him. The word translated as rebuked is in the imperfect tense, implying that the rebukes are repeated again and again. In other words, these people are telling Bartimaeus constantly to be quiet. Another translation renders this verse as many warned him to be quiet, with the suggestion being that they're actually threatening him. I'm warning you, be quiet. What comes across here is the sheer contempt that they have towards him for even imagining that the Lord Jesus would be interested in someone like him. And yet I wonder how many in that crowd themselves had been ministered to individually by the Lord Jesus. How many of them in that crowd had seen the Lord Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons, and even give sight to the blind? Maybe they themselves had actually been the recipient of such incredible healing. And so knowing what they did about Jesus, you would have thought that surely there would have been someone in that crowd who upon walking out of Jericho would have noticed Bartimaeus sitting by the road and thought to themselves, I'm pretty sure that Jesus could help him. I'm pretty sure that Jesus could heal that man of his blindness. Maybe we should take him to Jesus to see if he can help him. But not only does it seem that no one even thought of that, here we discover that when Bartimaeus is actually calling out after Jesus, they're basically telling him to shut up. And that's me being polite about it. It's remarkable that as believers that we can be so quick to forget how gracious and forgiving the Lord has been to us, that we then turn our noses up at those who would call after him. It's incredible that there were so many in that crowd who would have been quite happy to have left Bartimaeus by the roadside as a blind beggar while they all went off in their merry way. Surely, at the very least, the ones in the crowd who themselves had received mercy from Jesus should have been encouraging Bartimaeus and helping him to get to the Lord. And yet here we find them incredibly doing the exact opposite. We need to be so careful that we don't become a barrier to someone coming to Christ. Surely it's unthinkable that you or I could ever be the reason and the cause of stopping someone coming to Jesus. And yet that's exactly what the people in this crowd were doing. Now you will notice that the crowd's rebuke and insistence that he be quiet only seems to spur Bartimaeus on to shout louder. Because you'll notice in verse 48 that he goes on to tell us that he kept crying out all the more. And perhaps part of the reason that he has to shout louder is because there are so many in the crowd telling him to be quiet. And so he has to shout louder in order to try and be heard over the top of all of these people telling him to shut up. And yet, while Bartimaeus may have been blind physically, what we discover from this passage is that his spiritual vision actually seems to be a lot sharper than most of the people in the crowd. Because notice that after being told that Jesus of Nazareth had passed by, he calls out to him as the Son of David. Where does that come from? When he's asked what is happening, he's told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so how does he get from Jesus of Nazareth to the Son of David, which is a messianic title? He got there because God is opening his blind eyes of his heart in order for him to see and to understand exactly who Jesus is. The greatest miracle that takes place in this passage is not Jesus healing Bartimaeus of his physical blindness, but of God opening Bartimaeus' heart to see who Jesus is and to call after him in the first place. Bartimaeus may have been blind physically, but he is seeing a lot clearer than the majority of the people in that crowd. Notice then what happens in verse 49. We read that Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Now just think for a moment about that. Verse 49 says, "Jesus stopped." How many people do you think had walked past Bartimaeus that day alone? Probably hundreds, if not thousands. And I wonder how many actually stopped. And yet here is Jesus, the Son of David, God's Messiah, and he stops. He's on his way to Jerusalem where he would face the cross. And yet he stops to talk with a blind beggar called Bartimaeus. Why does he stop? Well, why does Jesus ever stop? It's significant that in the passage immediately before the one, before this one, we have the Lord Jesus telling his disciples in Mark 10:45 that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus stopped because he came to save people like Bartimaeus. He stopped because he cares about the blind beggar sitting by the roadside that everyone else has ignored, that everyone else has walked past or is telling to be quiet. Jesus stopped because he heard Bartimaeus' cries. There's no indication in the text that anyone came up to Jesus and said, and told him that Bartimaeus is calling after him. It's not the case that someone comes up to Jesus and said, "Look, there's a guy over here who's been a complete nuisance. Would you mind just talking to him for just a minute? Because he's been a real pain in the neck. And he won't shut up until he talks to you." There's none of that. Instead, what we discover is that over all the hustle and bustle, over all the noise, over all the shouting, Jesus hears Bartimaeus calling out to him. And perhaps there are some of you here this morning and you wonder if God hears your cries. Perhaps you think that God only hears and listens to those who are particularly special. Maybe there are some of you who don't cry out to him at all because you don't ever imagine that he would be interested in listening to someone like you. After all, nobody else seems to be bothered. No one else seems to listen. In fact, everyone else that I talk to, in a sense, tells me to be quiet and fobs me off. So why would God listen to anything that I have to say? And yet what we see here is that he is interested. And he does listen. That over all the hustle and the bustle of the crowd, over all the noise, over all the shouting, the Lord Jesus hears the cries of a blind beggar sitting by the roadside, calling out to him. And so Jesus stops. We know that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And we know from previous studies back in verse 32 that he is eager to get there, that he's leading the way. And yet remarkably, even that can wait. Because in response to the cries of this blind beggar that everyone else has ignored and told to be quiet, Jesus stops and invites him to come and talk with him. The Lord Jesus will never turn anyone away who calls to him, no matter who they are. And that includes you and me. And so if you need to call out to God, you call out to him today. And don't ever stop. Because he wonderfully hears. Notice then in verse 49 that the same people who had been telling Bartimaeus to be quiet now tell him to cheer up. Because Jesus has heard his cries and he's calling for you. What an amazing turnaround. Isn't it wonderful that the account began with Bartimaeus calling after Jesus? And now we have Jesus calling for Bartimaeus. Think of how many people were in that crowd, perhaps trying to push themselves to the front so that they could get close to Jesus and perhaps have a conversation with him. Probably hundreds, if not thousands of people. And yet out of them all, Jesus invites the one that nobody else wanted to talk to. He invites Bartimaeus to get up from the roadside and come and talk to him. Notice then what Bartimaeus does. We read in verse 50 that throwing his cloak aside, he jumps to his feet and he comes to Jesus. And here again, we have a wonderful contrast with the rich young ruler. When Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell everything he had and give it to the poor, we're told that he went away grieving and sorrowful because he had great wealth. The rich young ruler is utterly distraught at the thought of having to give away everything that he had and the possessions that he loved so much. And here's Bartimaeus. And the most valuable and precious thing that he possesses is his cloak. Because it would be used for so many different things as a beggar. It would be used to keep himself warm. He would use it to keep things safe that people gave to him, that people could put their money into it. Perhaps there was even money and other things sitting in that cloak right there when Jesus called him. His cloak is the most precious and valuable thing that Bartimaeus has. And yet in response to Jesus calling him, he throws it aside. Jesus asked the rich young ruler to give away everything he had, and he refused. Jesus doesn't ask Bartimaeus to do that. But Bartimaeus does it anyway. Because coming to Jesus is so much more valuable and precious to him that he will give away everything in this world in order to have him. Not only does Jesus cause Bartimaeus to come to him, but Jesus then asks him the most wonderful question in verse 51. Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a question that is to be asked by the Son of God. And yet we know from our study last week that he asked the very same question of James and John. But you remember that was in response to their demand that Jesus do for them whatever they wanted. Here, however, is Bartimaeus, a blind beggar that no one had the time of day for, and yet Jesus invites him to come and talk to him. And before Bartimaeus has a chance to say anything to Jesus, Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would your answer be to that question? That if the Lord was to come to you today and ask you, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you say? For Bartimaeus, the answer to that question is very easy. He replies to Jesus in verse 51 and says, "I want to see." A more accurate translation is actually, "I want to regain my sight," indicating perhaps that he had been able to see at one time, but had somehow lost his vision and become blind. Notice then in verse 52 that Jesus grants his request and that immediately he regained his sight. Can you imagine what that must have been like for Bartimaeus? One moment, total and utter darkness. Unable to see anything. No shapes, colours, nothing. Just darkness. And then in an instant, having 20, perfect 20-20 vision. And so the question now for Bartimaeus is, what's he going to do? And where's he going to go now that he can see? It's interesting to notice what Jesus says to him in verse 52. He says to Bartimaeus, "Go." In other words, "I've done what you've asked. Now off you go." Bartimaeus now has to decide where he's going to go and what he's going to do with the rest of his life. Now, surely he's not going to go back to where he was and sit back down and continue begging as though nothing had changed. And yet, is that not exactly what some people do? When the crisis moment passes and everything looks as if it's going to be okay? Is that what you do? That when the crisis comes, you call out to God. But as soon as everything's okay again, you go back to the way you were and nothing changes. For Bartimaeus, everything had changed. He had been blind, but now he's able to see. And so surely it's unthinkable that he would then go back to the roadside, sit back down and continue to beg. And so notice that of all the things that Bartimaeus could now do, of all the places that he could now go, we read in verse 52 that Bartimaeus followed Jesus along the road. It's interesting how this again contrasts with the rich young ruler. Because you remember that Jesus invites the rich young ruler to follow him, and yet he declines and goes away sad. Jesus doesn't invite Bartimaeus to follow him. Instead, Jesus tells Bartimaeus to go. But Bartimaeus decides, I'm going to follow him. And of course, why would he do anything else? Surely after what Jesus has done for him, the only fitting response would be for him to then follow Jesus. And yet how many people had come to Jesus for healing, got what they wanted, and then headed off again, without any further thought as to who Jesus is and how it was that he was able to do such things. But not Bartimaeus. When he's faced with the choice of what to do and where he can now go that he can see, he decides to follow the one who opened his eyes. And it's significant that Mark tells us that he follows Jesus along the road. Because where is that road going to lead? It's going to lead to Calvary. It's going to lead to a cross. But interestingly, before they get there, as we'll see next week when we come to chapter 11, where Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem like a king. And maybe Bartimaeus is part of that great crowd and he's thinking to himself, this is fantastic. And they all have this great time rejoicing and worshipping the Lord. But how quickly things change. Living the Christian life is difficult. And you and I face things in life that are so hard and so difficult. And the issue is, what is going to happen to our faith when times get tough? It's great to praise God when everything's going well. But when we're at a cross, will we still praise Him? You see, if Bartimaeus hung around long enough, he would find that in the space of a week, the same Jesus that has been welcomed into this city like a king is now hanging on a cross, dying like a criminal. And I wonder if Bartimaeus hung around long enough for that. You see, if Bartimaeus hadn't followed Jesus along the road, then what took place at the roadside on the way into Jericho was pointless. Sure, he could see again. But if he didn't follow Jesus along the road, then he's missed the entire point of why Jesus made him see again. As we've noted before, the reason that Jesus heals people is not just to make their situation better. It's to give evidence to the fact of who he is. It's to point them to him. And yet so many people make the mistake of only wanting Jesus to sort out the problems of life and miss out on what it means to actually follow him along the road. I think Bartimaeus was different. And I think he stayed the course. I think his faith and commitment was real. And I think that's the reason that Mark tells us his name. And perhaps the reason that Mark tells us his name is because there would be people reading Mark's gospel who would know who Bartimaeus was. And be reading that and wondering, is that how you came to faith? Did people really tell you to be quiet? Yeah, they did, but I wasn't going to listen to them. And he follows Jesus along the road. We don't know and we're not told, but maybe Bartimaeus followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Maybe he was there. Maybe he, and surely his mind would go back to the 7 or 8 days earlier when he's sitting by the roadside outside Jericho, blind and begging, and then he met Jesus. And even though he can't understand what he's seeing, and he may not understand all that is happening, he can't deny the wonderful transformation that occurred in his life when he met Jesus. He was blind, but now he can see. And so he committed himself to follow Jesus along the road, no matter where that road leads him, even if it led him to a cross. And so as we finish, I ask you, have you committed your life to follow Jesus? And if so, are you willing to follow him along the road, no matter where it will lead, even if it leads you to a cross? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We thank you for the challenge that Bartimaeus is to us. Thank you for his persistence in calling out after Jesus. And Lord, would you give that same persistence to us? That even though there may have been others telling him to be quiet, he cried out all the more, knowing that Jesus was his only hope. And Lord, we come to you this morning and we recognize that the Lord Jesus is indeed our only hope. And so, Lord, would you open our blind eyes to see that and to commit our lives to him and then to follow him along the road, wherever that would lead. Lord, would you bless your word to our hearts now, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.